I would like to introduce our main speaker for this evening, Janice from West LA.
Thank you, Doc. Hi, everybody. I'm Janice Auschwitz. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Janice.
This is the party tonight, huh? I'm feeling it. I really want to thank Joseph and Larry for asking me to come out and speak. Thank you both very much. It's an honor, and a privilege. And I want to thank my homegirl here. We've had a meeting on the way here. Amy and I are, like she said, we're classmates. We're both class of 97. And the moment that we met, we became like the best of friends, like our hearts just connected. And I love you so much. Thank you for a great, great talk. We're done. We could go. And we're going to have a meeting on the way home. And that's what I love about Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and I want to welcome Chantel. Welcome, Chantel. I want to welcome Mary. Welcome, Mary. I want to congratulate Jim and David for their 90-day chips. Where are you guys? Right on. Congratulations. I want to wish Christian for his 1 year. Happy birthday. I want to also wish Andy happy birthday for your 2 years. And I want to wish Bill 28 years. And I want to thank Larry for reading chapter 3. Where are you, Larry? Okay, Larry in the back. And then Cameron for the 12 traditions. You know what? My sobriety date is May 11th, 1997. My home group is the Pacific Group on the west side. It's in West Los Angeles. If you're ever out that way, like Amy was saying, come to our home group on Wednesday night. There's like 800 people. Heather, I saw you there. And we'll show you around, you know. But I love that you have a home group right here. I can see all your bright faces. And my sponsor's Pat Yo. And I'm just going to tell you that anytime I come to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, you are my brothers and my sisters. You are my people. You are my tribe. So I'm just going to be honest and tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. I'm a liar, cheat, and thief, and a ho-ho-ho as an alcoholic woman. And I will tell you, I am so glad ho-ho-ho means Christmas again. You know? Didn't mean that for a long time. I'm from Torrance, California. I'm the middle misfit of three children. You know, mom and dad, hard workers. South Bay, I'm telling you, they're hard workers. And I remember as a young kid, I'm an uncomfortable kid, you know. I'm a chunky kid. I was lying way before I picked up a drink. You know, did you eat all the cake, Jan? It's on my mouth. No. You know, did you eat all the cookies out of the cookie jar? You know, the crumbs are on my... No, my sister did. You know, I just was born a liar. I got fired from one of my first little jobby poos. I started working when I was 15, and I'm stealing money out of the cash register. Because, you know, I got a hole here that I don't understand what it is. This big hole. And I thought that I was entitled to have that extra money that I was taking out of that cash register. That was before I kind of picked up a drink. I picked up a little drink. My first chemical from the neck up was Dexedrine. And God bless my mother, because I was chunky, she gave me some Dexedrine at the age of like 9 and 10. I'm naturally this energetic, and I do not need to be on Dexedrine, right? So I'm cleaning the house, So, you know, my dad, I remember Amy brought that up, and I remember her uncle, but my dad was drinking Coors beers in Olympia, and my first little sippy was Coors Light, you know, Coors, not light, the gold can, I remember that. And I thought, oh, that's so cool. And dad was a smoker, and I thought, oh, that's so cool. And I always thought drinking and smoking was so glamorous, right? Oh. And I love the old movies and, you know, the Rat Pack and all that. It was just so Marilyn Monroe and, oh, but I don't drink like that. I remember my first little brownout. Well, first of all, let me explain to you how I'll paint my picture of how I am. Like, what's going on in our home is there's drinking in our home. My parents drink. I'll never forget the clickety-click of the ice when they get home. It means 7 and 7 time, you know, and they fight. That doesn't make me an alcoholic. They fight. They fight all the time. There's a little bit of pots and pans going and a few knives like going around, you know. That doesn't make me an alcoholic, but I remember it's that fear. And I always thought they were fighting about me because I'm selfish, self-centered, and self-seeking, and I think about me, and everything affects me. And that was happening way before I picked up a drink. And, you know, and so I remember my mom would say, you know, we all look good on the outside. Our family is the picture-perfect family in the house. And, you know, I remember my mom would always say, don't let anybody know what's going on outside of this house. Everything looks good. So I learned how to be fine, and I learned how to have the outside stuff going very early. And thank you, T, for having us, too. And so you know, my first little brownout, my parents let me drink. I'm Boone's Farm Tickle Pink. Strawberry, yeah, do you remember that? That stuff tastes so good. And I remember a little brownout, and here's how it goes. I'm in the front of my parents' house, and I have my skirt over my head. It will get no better than that, I promise. And I'm not drinking every day at the age of 14 and 15. I'm not, but I'm also that people pleaser. I'm the girl that wants everybody to like me, and I will go out of my way. And that's painful. Boy, I tell you, I don't know. If you're new here and you didn't raise your hand, or if you're new, I just want to welcome you home. Home. So here's how it is. I'm on the natch. I'm like, oh, God, do you like me? Do you like me? What do you think about me? Oh, my God, what do I look? Oh, God, you know, it's like, you know, the auctioneer. Like, my head is the auctioneer. Oh, what do you think about it? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Do you like me? Do you like me? Do you like me? Have a drink. And I'm like, you are so lucky to be with me right now. Don't you know who I am? Do not you know? Oh, my gosh. That courage just comes right from the first drink, you know, and I know that makes me an alcoholic. And I mean, and it just, everything fits. Like, all of a sudden I'm taller, my legs are so long, I got short little legs, but when I drink, and I'm just like all that in a bag of chips. And I'm not drinking every day in high school, but when I drink, you know, I drink the first one. I love the effect produced, just like Amy said, I love the effect produced by alcohol, and I salivate for the next one. And that happened in my first drink, you know, and so, heck, I'm in school, I'm a popular girl, I always, like, the people pleaser thing, so painful, you know, I want everybody to like me, and I care more about what you think of me than I care about what I think of me. Oh, my God, pathetic, and I lived like that for a long time. And, but I remember my high school graduation. I had a little champagne, like a lot of champagne, and blacked out. My parents had a little party for me, and I forgot to show up. So I'm already hurting people at a very young age. And so, you know, and I wanted to grow up really fast. I couldn't wait to go to work. I couldn't wait to get that job. And but I started getting into bars early. Yeah. I started getting, like in the South Bay, there was this one bar. It was called the Rain Tree. Has anybody been to the Rain Tree? T, is that where I know you from? So, you know, I always go like this. Did we sleep together? You know? That's what I always do. I'm like, you know. You know, the ho-ho-ho started early, so, and this is what happened. It's like, I'm getting into bars early, and I'm starting to drink, not every day, but every time I drink, I pick up, and I, you know, like seven drinks in, my friends are like, geez, they're on their one, and I thought that was like, I'm a drinker. I'm an alcoholic, you know. I mean, in retrospect, I'm an alcoholic. Everybody's like, what's taking you so long? And I can remember when I was drinking, and it would be like, the bartender's taking way too long to make my drink, you know, and I've got two in front of me. So, you know, but I remember, and I started doing chemicals, you know, other things that allowed me to drink more very early on as well. Now, right around this time, about 21 years old, I'm like eight Long Island iced teas. Those things taste just like iced tea. And you remember shots of orgasms? You guys remember those? Do you remember those? Little Baileys, little vodka, little Kahlua. Well, I have multiple orgasms and go to jail. So that's what happens for me. And I'm always right around the corner of where I live. So my first DUI was, and these are all my God shots. I'm going to talk about God shots. I'm going to talk about how grateful I am that it took me not one, two, three, four, five. I don't know. I lost count. You had eight. I lost count of how many times I've been in and out of AA. But if you're new here or you're back here, I want you to know that it's the greatest assets I have today to help somebody else, and no regrets. So, here's what happens. So I get pulled over, and I fall out of the car, and there's a male and a female cop. And, I proceed to tell the female cop, I know what you're going to do to me. You're going to rape me, blah, 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 blah. I got this mouth. And then I ask the male officer, I say, could I just give you a personal breathalyzer and call it a day? And, they take me away. Now, this is my first little nudge from the judge. Thank you, God. And I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous 6 meetings. Oh, my Lord. And, drunk driving school. Thank God for drunk driving school and the 6 and my court card. And, oh, by the way, I'm seeing a therapist, but I'm a liar. Do you drink? Oh, 3 beers. I mean, I get pulled out of the car. My blood level is like a 0.30. And I lie to the car. I've had 3 beers, Ossifer. I don't know what the 3 beer thing is. But that was always my little lying thing. And, I just can't get honest. And I'm so ashamed. And if you know who I am, I like to be everybody else but me. I've been so many different people. I don't know about you guys, but I couldn't keep track. Because I never liked who I was. And thank God I got that nudge from the judge. And I remember my first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I'm looking at the differences rather than the similarities. I've got the job, I've got the car, I've got the family, I've got this, I've got all the outside stuff. But I will never forget that the hand of AA and the heart of AA has always been there for me from the moment I got here, from the minute I walked in. So then, Janice does it her way, and, now, but I do remember that first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. You guys are talking about alcohol, and I am salivating, and I got to go get a drink. So that happened at 21. I'm 53. I'll be 54. I've been sober 19 years. By the grace of God, I've been in and out, what it was like, what happened. And so what's happening for me in life now in my early 20s, I fulfilled that obligation, and I drank. And now I'm aware of my drinking. You guys have woken up the beast. And, of course, I get another – oh, this is what I do, too. I just paint the picture. I'm a blackout drinker. So, weddings are hard for me. All my friends are getting married. And I'm with my lower companions, My friends are starting to tell me to go away. I'm being uninvited from places, the bride always gets the attention. Really bugs me. So, I'm in a blackout, I'm like breakdancing at weddings in a short dress with no panties. I need to show you that I'm a gymnast. You must know this. I'm on the floor doing splits. I get walked out of places. I start getting walked out of a lot of places. And, of course, I get another DUI. And at the age of 24, I've had 21, 24, and 31. I got 3 DUIs. And, it's a progressive disease. They get worse. I'm so grateful I never hurt anybody. I'm so grateful. We don't all get to say that. But I'm so grateful. I mean, but that second DUI, kind of slid into about 5 parked cars. And, and then I crashed into a pool car. I'm telling you. Right about to the end of that wall is I'm going like 60 miles an hour, boom, into a pool truck, and that pool truck saved me. But those, and of course the cops coming, and have you been drinking? I'm like, no, 3, those cars are in my way, it's a narrow street. So, I just make excuses for everything and everybody. And that's the kind of alcoholic girl I am. And, of course I get another DUI, and of course now this time it's 18 months. It's 18 months in a program and 36 Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm like, oh my God. And now I know I'm having a problem. Things are happening for me like this. I'm starting to lose jobs, and my family's looking at me like, ugh. Like I'm the daughter. I'm the kid that has the alcoholic car. And my brother has his second condo or third condo he's buying because, he's a normie. And my sister is in college and she's graduating. And then there's me. And, and at this point, I know there's a problem. And, I'm the kind of girl that wakes up pregnant and doesn't know how that happened. Yeah. And furthermore, it's worse. Sometimes I'm not even sure who. I never want to forget that I can stand for you. I can stand in front of you today and talk to you at this level. I don't live like this anymore. But I never want to forget that one little drinky poo takes me there. And I never want to forget that look from my family and the look from the lower companions that are telling me, I think you have a problem. And, right? And a look from the people that I'm buying those other party favors from to, you're so psycho. What's wrong with you? God, you know, the hardest question was, why do you drink so much? That was like a hard question to answer, right? It was for me. I'm like, you don't get it, you know. And then I love the excuse when I'm like so drunk, I've done something so completely insidious to somebody and so awful and humiliating and really offended people. I go, but I was drinking. It doesn't count. I don't know about you, but I did that all the time. So, you know, I got into my first rehab, and I went to Del Amo Hospital in Torrance. And I'm forever, you know, again, I'm in AA. I'm going to AA, but I'm not sober. And, I'm seeing a therapist. And you know what? I clearly know I have a problem. I clearly know that I have problems, but I think I'm crazy. Okay, I am crazy, and I'm alcoholic, but I don't want to be alcoholic. It's so disgusting. So, you know, it's like I always had that thing where I remember that it just being so taboo back in those days. And that's just my head. I don't know. You might have been my people ever since the moment I got here. You're my peeps. So I'm in Del Amo Hospital, and here's what I like about this. And this is, I'm so grateful. These are another God shot that I had 3.5 years of sobriety from that hospital stay. And here's what happens for Janice when she physically sober. Life gets better. It gets better for everyone around me. But it gets better for me too, you know, physical sobriety. And when I'm in structure, when I'm structured, I really do well, you know. So in the hospital program, I have the structure. I'm up. We go to a meeting, and now you got to get a sponsor. You're going to work the steps. We're out of the big book. We're going to another meeting. And I thrive in that. I thrive in it, you know. I thrive in it. And then we're in group session, you know. And I have my own psychiatrist, my own therapist. I mean, I had everything you could want. But I still have to do it my way. So what happened for me in that 3.5 years is I didn't clean up the wreckage, and I already have enough wreckage right at that point. And I'm living dry. Okay, dry, meaning that I'm talking the program, but I'm not walking the program. And I'm quoting things in the literature, but I'm not living it. Painful place to be. So grateful I'm here to tell you I don't live like that today, but I'm so grateful I have that experience. I'm irritable, restless, and discontent. And I lie by omission, of course. You don't need to know the whole truth. That would be so too invasive for you to know that. And I live like this. So I have those DUIs, right? And I'm on probation, but I got a speeding ticket. And oops, I'm not very responsible because I'm not checking in with the sponsor. I'm not in mediums. I'm not with you. I'm not fellowshipping. And God, I'm kind of God. I'm kind of my own God. I'm kind of my own sponsor. Cuckoo! So I forgot to show up, and they came and arrested me in my job. I'm sober, don't you know? They come and arrest me in my job, handcuff me, take me away. Now, I forgot to tell you what else I'm doing. I'm borrowing money from the petty cash. Borrowing, because I'm in charge of it, so I'm borrowing it. Well, you know, it was all gone. I borrowed it all. So I get taken to jail. And I'm in jail for 4 days because I have a warrant out for my arrest. And nobody wants to bail me out. And I'm sober. I hate sobriety, I'm telling you. There you go, I'm hating sobriety, and it's all your fault. You know, and what happens for me is, of course, I come back to that job and I get fired. And, of course, funny story. It's everything's funny because we can laugh at ourselves. Like, it's so sad and so painful, but at the same time, it's therapy because I can laugh about it and I can share it with you today and I can, you know, and I can tell you that I don't live like that anymore. Thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous and sponsorship and the steps and a God that's not me. But Where was I going with that? Oh, my brother-in-law. So I introduced my boss to my sister, who is my boss at that job where I got fired. He had to fire me because I had introduced my sister to him at that time. It's so funny. They've been married for 26 years, and I'll never forget that he fired me on that job. And, you know, and I, well, then I picked up a drink 3.5 years later, and I'll tell you, you had all been saying, you'd all been saying, you know, the beast is right here waiting for you, waiting for you. Oh, it was. 91 to 97, so, you know, 91 to 97, here's how we're going to go, and then I'm going to get sober. In that 3.5 years, I had this great job at Rockwell International, as executive secretary. I'm working with the government. And that 3.5 years of that job, I'm doing great. Because you taught me how to suit up and show up, and I'm a workaholic. I get there early. I stay late. I do whatever you ask me to do. However, I still have the demons from the unemotional sobriety and not cleaning the wreckage of my past. So I live that double life. And then I start drinking, and then the job is like, ooh, employee of the year. Ooh. Ooh. Oops, I forgot to call in on Monday. Friday, I'm out to lunch drinking, and I call the boss and say, come back. You know, and that happened. What happened for me in that period of time is they tried to help me. They tried to help me get sober. I was in the EAP program like 3 times. And Alcoholics Anonymous has always been there for me. But, you know, I got to go to the extreme. I got to go into a program. I got to go into a detox. I like to drink straight vodka out of the bottle. I like it all. I don't even need the glass anymore. Do you? It's such a waste of time. Oh, God, it takes too long. It would be nice if it's in the freezer, but if it's not, it's okay. It's in my purse. I always have a bottle of vodka and a bottle of scope with me, just in case. You can't smell it on my breath. Because I was drinking scope, too. Did anybody do that? Listerine? It's good stuff. So what happens is, okay, so I lose that job, 95. Now, again, I haven't had a monogamous relationship through most, if not all, of this. I have one over here, I have one over here, one over here. You got to meet my needs. I need what I need. And 95, I lose the job at Rockwell after just about 8 years. After they, you know, and I had 3 months of sobriety and 9 months of sobriety. What I always do is I always take Janice's will back, you know, and then I have a sponsor. But then I stop calling that sponsor. And then I work the steps the way I think they should be worked. You know, like that 4 and 5 is just a little too much. And, you know, I said I was sorry. You know, I said I called everybody and I told them I was sorry. And, you know, and I've worked it that way, and I'm so grateful that I have so much appreciation for what the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is today. You know, and by my mistakes, how grateful I am and how much they mean to me. When we read, when we share, when we share, when we take a chip, when we take a birthday, when somebody comes up and reads our literature, I listen. So, 95 to 97. 95, I lose that great job. My father's diagnosed with a horrific cancer. That didn't get me sober. My dad had told me, you know, my cancer's not killing me, kid, you are. And really, it was true. So true. And, you know, that didn't get me sober. 95 to 97, this is how I'm living. I move a lot because once you get to know me, I got to go. I do Torrance. I do Redondo. I do Seal Beach. I do Long Beach. I tore up Long Beach. Amy said she hasn't drank in Long Beach. And I go, oh, I have. And then I live in Santa Monica. And she goes, I haven't drank there. And I said, and I haven't drank in Santa Monica where I live today. You know, it's cool. But I drank everywhere else. And so this is how I'm living for 2 years. I remember my last drink, but it was like a blur because it lasted for 2 solid years. I passed out. Pop-up vodka around the clock, charcoal filtered. Do you remember that charcoal filtered? Anything I could get my hands on. And I sold my soul to the devil to get what I needed. You know? I'm like that woman. I got this. And it's just a really sad, so suicidal, homicidal place to live. It's so, so I never want to forget that desperation of waking up or actually coming to and going, how am I going to get my stuff today? Because I can't live without it. I never want to forget how bad it gets. And, you know, I live like this too, you know. A girl needs to eat, for goodness sakes. And, you know, I'm a recovering bulimic. I've had every kind of eating thing going on in my life. And I call pizza delivery because I'm of love and service. I can get my pizza. So here's what happens is I don't have any money, but I got this. So, hey, you know, pretty soon they're calling me, hey, how about a pizza? So you never know. And they get there within 30 minutes. No problem. You know, you are the smartest people I know. You are my heroes. The most resourceful. You know, it works if you work it, right? So, you know, that's what's going on for me. So 1997, here's what happens. May 11th. Now, I'm the girl that calls you. And I call all my exes. I call all my friends. I tell everybody off. Everybody remembers. My family remembers. My memory is my mom. You know, my sister's the one that, I'll get to that in a minute because I really want to get sober. And the in and out, 97, I get into the House of Hope for Women. Okay? Women are not my friends. I'm so afraid of you. If you know, because I feel like such the disgusting piece of trash. And you know what happened for me in the House of Hope is this is what happened. I'd lost all my living skills and I started to learn them one little moment at a time. We had to clean that house. I think you were saying we had to clean and scrub that house. And if it wasn't clean, we had to do it again. And you know, this alcoholic wanted to tell him exactly where to put that, right? And what I had to do was I was told to shut up and listen and do what I was told to do and act better than I feel until I feel better about the way I act. And why don't you shut up and put cotton in your ears and shut up. Cotton in my mouth. Open my ears. Shut up. And here's what happened for me as we started peeling a little layer at a time. Just one little layer of that big onion with those women. And we came from all walks of life. And the thing is that we were going to all Alcoholics Anonymous meetings in San Pedro, going to all the meetings and having all of our group. And here's what happened for me is I'm a people pleaser going, yeah, you know, I walked in there stealing their cigarettes and stealing food out of the refrigerator. And they said, honey, this is the last house on the block for you. My family told me to go away. My father is so sick. My mother's taking care of my father. My sister and brother won't talk to me. I'm the girl that my sister comes to her house. My sister tried to help me so much. I'm the girl that has, in Long Beach, the windows are open, the door is open, and I'm naked, and I'm bruised from head to toe, and I'm blacked out. And I scared her so many times that I was dead. You know, that's the kind of sister I am. So my road started May 11th, 1997, and here's what happened. I got a sponsor. My sponsor, her name was Molly, my first sponsor. And Molly had been in the House of Hope, and Molly was a chronic relapser too. And Molly was going to the West Side. Now, we're in San Pedro, and she's going to West Los Angeles to the Pacific Group. And so she picked me up, and she took me down that way down to West L.A. And she said, well, I'm going there because she had been in and out and was having a hard time. And I thought, oh, and the girls in the house went, that'd be good for you. I'm like, what does that mean? So I went to this meeting, and I went to the Pacific Group. And I'd never heard of the Pacific Group, and it was very structured. And what it was that the women stick with the women, and the men stick with the men, you know? And if you're new, the women swarm you. Actually, they all swarm you. And they protect you, and they say, we're going to take care of you. Not protect you from the men. Just the men don't want anything to do with you when you're new. That's exactly what I needed. That's exactly what this alcoholic needed. Now, that was there from the moment I went to AA. I wasn't ready. I didn't want it. But, you know, I saw something there. And they were having fun. And they were laughing. And then they asked me for my number. And then I called them, and they called me back. I'm sure that was happening the first moment that I got into AA. I just wasn't doing it. And what was happening, this alcoholic You know, I'm used to going to all kinds of AA meetings, and I'm not always paying attention and listening like you are so very eloquently tonight. I'm the talker. You know, I can't wait to cheer and chant, and, you know, and you're saying principles before personalities, and, you know, and we don't chant in the Pacific group. And I have to tell you something. This alcoholic needed to be hear what was being read. And then I got a sponsor. Now, I didn't turn myself in until I had a year and a half of sobriety because they were just a little too serious for me. And what was happening for me is my sponsor told me, you cannot date your first year. You didn't come in here with a man, and you certainly don't need to have a man. You've had men. You don't need a man. And you don't know how to be a lady yet. And you know what? She was right. But you know what? I didn't listen. And on my first year of sobriety, I was dating a Beacon Boy house boy. You know, and I'm in the House of Hope, and he's in the Beacon House, and we're trying to set up shop. And you know what happens for me when I do that? I get that white picket fence and the dog, and you know, oops, I forgot to do my steps. Oops, I forgot to go to a meeting. Oops, I forgot to call my sponsor. Oops, let's kill each other. You know? Right? And I allow myself to be treated like I'm drinking again. And that is all on me. And I am so grateful that I have that experience, another God shot, to help the women that I sponsor today. The women that I sponsor today, if they don't come in married or in a relationship, there's no relationship for the first year because I've lived the hell. And I know. Experience, you know. And so what happened is 10 months of sobriety, my dad got to see me. Now, here's the girl that doesn't have the key to the house. I didn't get a key to my parents' house for 2.5 years of this sobriety. But I could go and visit. And I was there, and I was visiting that whole 10 months, and my parents got to see me, and my dad got to see me. And my dad got to see me sober. And I'm so forever grateful because we don't always get that. And, you know, I wasn't like sober at 10 months, like worked all my steps and really, you know, but I was sober physically and I was doing the program and my dad saw it and I will never forget. I got to sit with him and be with him. And you know, my father got to see my first breath and I was there to see his last. And I'll never forget. He waved at me before he passed and he had the sweetest smile. And I said, Dad, I promise I'm going to stay sober, but this time it has to be for me because they told me that. But you're my backup plan. You know, and I can't tell you how many times it was for Dad. It doesn't matter. And so that's what happened. And then I turned myself into the Pacific group. I got me a sponsor. And one of my friends, who happens to be my husband today, my husband was my friend. He was my friend before he ever asked me out on a date. We were friends. Not the one-night stand that I'm used to, you know. Act like a lady, you might be treated like a lady, you know. Act better than you feel. What does that mean? They started telling me these things. Okay, are you mad? Oh, yeah. You know, untreated alcoholism, working the steps, my sponsor, we're getting in the steps. I'm in meetings. I'm in all these meetings. I'm in all of our committed meetings, and I'm getting commitments at all these meetings. But act better than you feel until you feel better about the way you act. Oh, my God, that is such a powerful little statement. I couldn't make sense of that until I got and heard that in the Pacific group. I don't know. It's like, act better than I feel. Okay, I'm angry, but you know what? It's not your fault. So I'm going to treat you better than I want to be treated. And pretty soon that person that I used to be is not that person that's reacting to you for it's not your fault. And I got to work those steps. And I got to act better than I feel. It's not phony until I like the way I act. And those feelings start to follow. Sometimes it's like, "Whoa, who was that? Oh, who was that?" And that started happening very slowly for me, you know, but it was the actions that I take, the feelings will follow. So if I have better actions, I'm going to have better feelings. And if esteemable acts build self-esteem. And if you act like a lady, you'll probably be treated like one and all these little things. And so what happened for me, then the commitments, I started getting commitments. And those were where I met my friends, you know, and some of our meetings, we get to commitments 3 hours early. So Wednesday night is 800 people. That meeting takes a lot of people to run it. I was in the parking lot for a long time, and I'd get there at 5:30, and we'd have a meeting before the meeting. Like Amy and I had a meeting before the meeting. We'll have another one after. And that's where I started learning how to have friends. Because I've had a lot of friends, but I don't know about you, that all those acquaintances. This is one alcoholic talking to another. And my sponsor would always say, and you know, shut up and listen. And then remember one thing they said. If you, because, you know, when you're new, you know, I don't know if you're new and you're feeling like, I can't pay attention. And then I started shutting that brain down and just paying totally attention to you and remembering what you said so I could ask you the next time I see you. It's held me in really great stead, one day at a time. So here's what happens for me. There's a lot that has happened for me in sobriety. 5 till? Okay. Am I doing okay? Okay. Oh, yeah, you're my timer. Thank you, honey. You know, I worked those steps, 1 through 12, right? The way they are outlined in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, where you work it with a sponsor, and I will never forget. And I didn't leave anything out. I wanted to, but I didn't. And I will never forget when I read my fifth step to my sponsor, Karen. I've had more than one sponsor. Karen, Susie, Debbie, Claire, and Pat. And all of those women are my heroes. You can walk through changing sponsors. I've walked through it with dignity and grace. And a sponsor is something that I never valued, that I value so much today. I learned it in my home group, how powerful and how strong sponsorship is. It's very strong. It's very strong in my home group. But like again, all of this was at my first AA meeting. I just happened to pay attention and be ready in the Pacific group. Sponsorship, commitments, fellowship. I was always missing that, you know. And so I'll never forget. I just finally felt like I fit right there in that seat, and I couldn't wait to have more of that. And I didn't have that big pink cloud when I first read it, but it came, and it came. And then the amends. Oh, those amends. I owed the IRS, you know, some change. And it took me. My sponsor says, this is not your money, honey. It's not your money. Oh, I wrote those checks for 7.5 years. One little checky poo at a time. And I had to start. What I love is that my sobriety has been something that I've had to work for. I haven't been given anything like in other sobrieties. I had to start my career over. You know, I have an ego. And those great jobs that I had, I wasn't finding them. And then I got, you know, and my sponsor said, you work 8 hours a day. Don't do 2 hours like you used to and then put everything in the drawer and lie about it. 8 full hours, 8 good 8 hours. You're getting paid for your job. And it was so good for me. The ego needed to be crushed. And how my life kept waiting. Then I started going out. My amends. I want to talk about that, too, because, you know, living amends, for me, the acting, you know, like my sponsor would always tell me, you know, you got to suit up and show up in a Christmas. When you're going to Christmas, don't forget to take some presents, you know, because I used to take. I'm a taker. I'm going to show up. Don't forget. And do what you say you're going to do. So call your mom. And when you tell your mom you're going to call her, make sure you do it. And that's in all my affairs, in my work, with my friends, you know, and being accountable. I am by no stretch of the word perfect, but I laid out these tools. And so I started making those living amends even before I made the amends. You know, because I can't tell you how many times I said I was sorry. I can't tell you. And so my mom would say, don't ever say you're sorry to me again. So I had to show her. So I just was, and so what happened too is I made my formal amends, but I'm still making them. My sister, I told you, she's the one that comes to my house. My sister is my best friend. She's visiting. She lives in Virginia. She's my baby sister. And you know what? I'm her big sister today because you taught me how to suit up and show up and be there. All of my trips were to go to Virginia to see my sister. I told you that, you know, I had a few little pregnancies and 5 minutes. Or I had more than one. I'll say that in a general way. I don't have children. I have babies in AA. I believe that's my calling. And what I want to say is my sister could not have children. So she adopted from Russia. So her little girl has fetal alcohol syndrome. It's a tough one. That child has never, my niece has never seen me drink. And she has isms like I can't even tell you. And you know, my sister is so grateful that I'm here with you because she knows that I can help her. If one day she comes to Alcoholics Anonymous. But she's got lots and lots of issues. And you know who she relates to? Me. So it's all good. You know, she's angry. I got that. She's, you know, she doesn't like to pay attention. She doesn't want to take any direction. And she's got a crazy personality. And that's me. And she hasn't seen me drink. And you know what? I'm there for that kid. I'm so grateful. And my brother-in-law is the one that fired me way years ago. He loves that you have helped me get sober. He really loves Alcoholics Anonymous. And that brother of mine, I'm just going to tell you quickly. You know, I have a brother, and my brother didn't talk to me for a couple of years sober. And, you know, my brother has his own stuff. We don't always get relationships back. We don't. I don't. I'm talking about me. That's okay. You know what? I have been living the life of in the Alcoholics Anonymous by practicing these principles in all of my affairs and suiting up and showing up and calling and being there and actually hanging out with my brother a lot. We were like really good friends. Then my mom got sick. My mom's been sick the last 3 years. And you know, illness changes people. It's stressful. It's so stressful. A lot of things have happened. My husband has been ill. And guess what? You taught me how to suit up and show up and be a wife. And you taught me how to suit up and show up and be a daughter. And I will tell you, I am the one that my mom, I work from home. I have this career that I have found here. I was always afraid of success. Like, oh my God, that fear, the million forms of fear and success. I'm a humble, humble servant in my job. You know, I do public relations and I love it, but I work from home. And God has laid out this plan that I can go stay at my mother's house and take care of her 6 and 7 months at a time. Again, it's a little tumultuous. It's a love-hate. But guess what? You taught me how to suit up and show up and shut up and act better than I feel until I feel better about the way I act. And my mom and my brother don't forget my drinking. They still call me a drunk. But guess what? I love them. And, you know, I have brothers and sisters here. You know, I do. I have you. I have you. I have the best relationships today. My husband and I got married. You know, and thank you so much for teaching me how to be a lady and to have a monogamous relationship. It is so esteemable and lovely and wonderful, and I love it. And I love my husband. 2 minutes left. He's my hero. And, you know, he's with us here, and I sponsor women, and he sponsors men, and we have so much fun. We eloped to Vegas, and I did not do any break dancing at my wedding, so I just want you to know. You've taught me how to suit up and show up and act like a lady and be a friend and be, you know, a good employee, and I love my sponsor. I don't question anything she says. I will tell you, I listen to the tea, and I sponsor other women, and I will tell you it's the greatest gift I have. I am so forever grateful for friendships, but I'm so forever grateful to have the women that I sponsor are my little angels. And they call me, and they can call me 24 hours a day, and I will pick up my phone. Because there's nothing better than one alcoholic talking to another, walking through these steps and our traditions. And then, you know what? And then having the joy of fellowship. If you're new here, 1 minute left. Thank you. You're so good at that. If you're new here, I have never laughed so hard in my life because you know what? I'm not blacked out in a pile of food on a first date. I had many first dates. I don't know about you. They never called back. I'm so grateful to be walking with you. And I'm so grateful to stay teachable and humble and to be of maximum love and service. Maximum. Maximum. When I can, I can't think I can do one more thing and then do it. And I love you, and again, thank you for having me. Thank you, Amy, for coming, and I love you guys. Have a great night.